Good morning this morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to the service for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. Do not have any announcements or updates this morning, so we'll just go straight on and do the birthdays. Happy birthday to Sherry Proctor, Mary Davis, Gyla Kepley, James Rosick, Shelley Reynolds, Mary Malone, Samantha Curry. No anniversaries this week, so let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us join in confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray. You are great, O God, and greatly to be praised. You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Grant that we may believe in you, call upon you, know you, and serve you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
A reading from Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he. Humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. The word of the Lord.
Amen.
The psalm for today is Psalm 145. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. All your work shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all peoples your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. A reading from Romans. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good, but in fact it is no longer that I do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We play the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Our lessons today tie together, I think, well and share with us a vision of who we are called to be and the challenges we face being those people. When we look at that passage from Zechariah, we as Christians see it as looking forward to Jesus. But the history of Israel goes all the way back to Abraham and his journey. It continues as his descendants followed Joseph into Egypt. There, over a period of centuries, they ended up on the bottom of the society as slaves, or a little better. God then led them out into their own land using Moses. After hundreds of years, they then wanted a king, but the kings over time became unfaithful and used their positions for their own glory and wealth. They ended up eventually in exile until a new king in that country came and allowed them to return to Israel to build a temple. Our passage in Zechariah envisioned a new leader, a Messiah, who would lead them without all the excesses of the previous kings. One who would be righteous and lead justly. He writes those words, triumphant and victorious, but humble, and riding on a donkey. For the people of Israel, that was a message that talked about a different kind of king. Normally the kings would come in riding on a mule, a larger animal, or a war horse when it came time for the Romans. But instead, this leader would come riding a simple donkey, and it goes on to say the foal or colt of a donkey, to say it really is a donkey. It's not just a little mule, it's a donkey. And he would lead by persuasion, not by force. Even though God is portrayed as a great king and a mighty warrior, this new Messiah he sends will be humble, will not enforce his will on people. So we see that passage is describing Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on the day we celebrate as Palm Sunday. But this message to the children of Israel, when they felt forgotten, was an important sign of hope. Even after they were allowed to go back to Jerusalem, they couldn't rebuild the temple. They ran into problems, and it went on for a number of years. And likely they were filled with some sense of loss and despair. And Zechariah writes these words to give them hope. Now, they had been in exile in Babylon, and they had a certain level of freedom there, but they were still prisoners of war. They still wanted to be free. And they get that freedom, and they go back to rebuild the temple. Then they face more challenges, so they struggle with hope. Zechariah then pulls together words that express the best and worst of times, hope and despair, trusting in God. Methodist pastor named Alphonetta Wines talked about how important that idea of hope was when you were in difficult times and you struggled with what would happen. This passage reminds the children of Israel of the Passover and their freedom from Egypt, of the promise that God was with them, and even after times of God's judgment, God was still there. And she mentions an old gospel song, "Everything is going to be all right. I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Jesus told me everything's going to be all right. I'm not worried because everything's going to be all right. If I trust him, everything's going to be all right. I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right." It was that sense of hope and expectation that things would work out because God was with them. No matter how things seemed at the moment or how difficult they were, God was still there. And she talks about singing that song to reassure herself. This idea of hoping against hope. There's a kind of earthly hope that is focused on the self, but there is this holy hope that's focused on God and God's assurance to his people that he never forgets them. That word, the very name of God, is dynamic. I am that I am. I will be that I will be. It's not static. It's not just a thing or a place. It is the very essence of who God is, and it's an assurance that God is with us in the present and in the years to come by his grace and his love. And hope, we are told, we need to have, being even prisoners of hope when things don't look hopeful. This hope against hope replaces earthly selfish hope with a trust in God and God's faithfulness that he will fulfill his will. And that hope will be fulfilled as we understand it in Jesus. But people have trouble seeing that in Jesus. And Jesus shares this little parable in today's gospel about children playing and ignoring and fussing with one another. And we think about, probably in our minds, when we think about playing at weddings, we're thinking about little girls practicing their wedding. But in that day, a key part of a wedding was a dance performed by men in a big circle. So it's likely that the thing, when it talks about playing and the other children won't join in playing, it's the little boys complaining that the little girls are not sharing in their game because they want to dance around. And by the same token, at funerals, it was women who most often performed the ritual of mourning. And there were even professional mourners, as we read about when we talk about later in Lazarus' story. And so it's likely the little girls were playing the game about mourning. And they were complaining that the little boys wouldn't join in their game. So they're both wanting to play, but they're also being stubborn, and they want to play their game and not somebody else's game. Not that I've ever seen children do that. But Jesus says in those words that that's the way that people are acting about him and John. This little story, which is a cute little story about children, is also a parable about how the people have received John and how they've received Jesus. John was in the wilderness and led a very simple life and called people to repent. And they said he was possessed with a demon. Jesus lived among the people and went among the people, the sinners even, tax collectors. And people were angry. They said he was a drunkard, a glutton. He hung around the wrong people. They described Jesus by the company he keeps. And Jesus then, in this little parable, compares him to children who ignore one another, who don't share and participate in the games. And so the people act like those little children, petty, and ignoring John's call for who God calls them to be, to repent of their sins and turn back to God. Jesus, reminder of God's grace and mercy and the depth of God's love in calling them to follow him and to follow God and be faithful. And goes on to say that you can see true wisdom in how people act. And those who lack wisdom or fail to act with wisdom are foolish. Jesus compared the generation he was in to children playing in the marketplace, but not really playing with one another, going their own way. Now that was 2,000 years ago. But if you look at the world around us, I'm not sure we've changed too much. People are focused on wanting their own way and fail to work with one another to make a difference in life. Instead, they draw lines in the sand and dare one another to cross and don't listen to one another because they're too busy yelling their own game. Truth is not always readily apparent. Jesus came to show us the real truth. Jesus, in that, talks about his burden really being light. He's comparing that to the burden of the Pharisees and all their elaborate system of laws and how hard it was to follow those. And Jesus' law is simple. Love God. Love your neighbor. Follow God's will. And not only that, but he says, if you do that, you don't even have to do it by yourself because I will share that yoke with you. I will be with you. I will be yoked with you. So the burden is shared, not just with you. What hope do we have? Who will rescue us? Jesus has already shown us. Come to me, all you are weary and carrying heavy burdens, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is offered to the weary and the discouraged and the confused. And what ties these things together, I think, is Paul's words in Romans. Paul talks about his own sinfulness, that he struggles to do what is right even when he knows it's right. Now, some people have trouble with this idea because there are people that think that once you're a Christian, you ought to be perfect and you're not tempted by sin. I don't think that's true. Sin is a very present reality. And Paul struggled with that. And Paul understood that there was a way out. He said, "Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Jesus Christ rescues us from that body of death. When we're left to take care of ourselves, we oftentimes miss out on what really matters. We think we're wise and discerning, but too often we overlook God's presence and God's will. like those little children and those people that looked at John and Jesus. God is either too much for us or too little. He's too severe or too generous, too demanding or too provocative. We have trouble discerning good and evil, holy, truthfulness. What I want to do good, Paul writes, evil, when I want to do good, evil lies close at hand. Paul can help us understand the concept of true wisdom. Luther understood that and faced that same challenge. And so he talked about us as Christians being simultaneously saint and sinner, saved, assured of the hope of eternal life, turned into saints, but we still live in these fleshly bodies, tempted by the power of sin, because sin is a real power. And it's there pulling on us all the time. There's an old story, which you've probably heard, about a Cherokee teaching his young son and telling him that everyone has two wolves inside of them. One is violent, wild, destructive, and angry. The other is disciplined, wise, and generous. And they're fighting all the time inside of you. Which one will win? His son asks. I don't know. His father answers, the wolf that will win is the wolf that is fed. The Bible suggests that those who feed the good wolf, that is God's liberating spirit at work, care about things that God cares about. They seek to live in the way God wants them to live, because they focus themselves and look for God's presence and God's guidance and God's grace in all the challenges they face. If we fail to do that, that angry, violent side can take over and lead us in a different direction, because Satan and sin are always there trying to lead us on that path toward destruction. And we have to consciously work to feed the side that reflects Jesus, the side that shows God's grace. Left to ourselves, without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we succumb to feeding that ravenous, angry wolf. But God never leaves us alone. God laid down his life for us in Jesus. And Jesus calls us to a life of joyful service. Not in the way we often think, by being good and perfect people, because we fall short, but rather by trusting in God, by hoping in the hope that God offers us of life in his kingdom and of the power to live in this life as Christ wants us to. But it means constantly facing that challenge of resisting the power of sin, trusting always in God's grace and our salvation, but seeking to live in the way Jesus lived and calls us to live, as kind and generous and vulnerable people who are open to God's work, or open to being touched by our neighbors and treating them with compassion and care, even when we have strongly different ideas and views. In this time when our nation seems so divided, we need to remember that who our true King is Jesus, and that Jesus calls us to live with love for our neighbor and love for God, trusting that God's will be accomplished, and striving to live in such a way that we are on God's side in all that we do, for Christ's sake, for our sake, for our children's sake, seeking the wisdom of God and living in that wisdom and that hope. Amen.
Let us now profess our faith with the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father,
and he will come again to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy
Catholic Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us lift our hearts, hands, and voices in prayer to God on behalf of all people. Gracious God, and lowly of heart as its Savior. Use it to draw people who are heavy laden by the world, the devil, and their own sinfulness to the one who will give them rest. Let the Church's high calling of faith toward you and fervent love toward others be a light and joyous burden to bear. Lord, in your mercy, give refreshment, rest, and respite to your suffering Church throughout the world. Help us who are so richly supplied with your good gifts in this land to share generously with those who struggle, to pray for them, and to speak and act on their behalf. Yoked to our Savior and guided by his Spirit, let us help one another in bearing the necessary burdens of this life. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you for the people of this congregation. Help us to see one another with the eyes of Jesus. Some among us are carrying heavy burdens, known only to them and to you. Ease their load and give each of us such gentle hearts and words that we too refresh their spirits. Shape all our words and works so that many may find encouragement, forgiveness, hope, and renewed joy in loving and serving you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all the worlds, we thank you for this beautiful earth over which you have set us as your stewards. Give your Holy Spirit to us so that we may be wise, responsible, and compassionate as we farm and tend the land and its creatures. Help us to enjoy the loveliness of creation, finding in it refreshment for our souls and relaxation for our bodies. Lord, in your mercy. By your Spirit, bless, purify, and guide this nation to go forward in justice and freedom. Give to all people the blessings of well-being and harmony, but above all things, give us faith in you that our nation may bring glory to you and blessings to all people. Let the words of the song be our prayer on its behalf. America, America, God, mend thine every flaw, confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty and law. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, grant to the people of every nation favorable weather, peaceful times, and respite from the burdens of sickness, poverty, and violence. Teach us all to seek and share your mercy, guidance, and blessings. Lord, in your mercy. Ease the heavy burdens borne by all who risk their lives to keep us healthy, safe, just, and free. Grant success to all they do in accordance with your will. Heal those wounded in body, mind, or spirit. Comfort and strengthen their loved ones. May their service be honored when their duties are finished. Lord, in your mercy. Give rest and refreshment, respite and healing to everyone weighed down by sin, sorrow, or suffering. Especially we pray for those searching for a COVID-19 vaccine, those struggling with the economic impact of the virus and the violence, those living with depression, addiction, and mental illness, all those who are traveling, those in our prayer list, and those for whom we lift their names now in our hearts. Ease also the heavy load of care and worry that their loved ones carry. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you, dear Father, for the life, love, and labor of your faithful departed servants, especially those most dear to us. Until we are reunited with them and all your children, bless us with your steadfast mercy and loving kindness. Lord, in your mercy. Receive and graciously answer our prayer, Heavenly Father. For the sake of your dear Son and by the power of your Holy Spirit, give us the strength and will to accomplish whatever you call us to do. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us pray. Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. By your word you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts, freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to all of us and call us to witness. Forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God, send your spirit of truth, O God. Rekindle your gifts within us. Renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen. Let us pray the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Let us recite our mission statement. United people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Thank you.